I'm excited to share with you today. It's very, very important. You know, we've been kind of sharing. It's very important how you see the Lord, how you see Jesus. The way you view the Lord, you view God as a loving Father, you'll run to Him and not away from Him. You view Him as a mean judge, you'll run from Him. Jesus came to reveal that He's a loving Father. And He came to reveal His Father. He came so you could have a relationship with His Father, like He has. And it's just so exciting. And so when you see Jesus, you see Him as a great, great shepherd that cares for you, carries you, loves you, wants to restore you, protect you. That's your great, great shepherd. And when you see Him that way, when you see Father in the right way, you see Jesus in the right way, guess what? You're going to see others the way He sees them. Amen. It's hard to do that without seeing through the eyes of grace and of His love and His peace. Great news is that when you see Father, come on up front here. Pastor James is going to help me out a little bit. When you see Father, you see Jesus through grace glasses, then I want to tell you a secret. You're able to see yourself the way He sees you. It's important for you to see yourself the way He sees you. Now, when Jesus comes into your heart, He's the gift of righteousness. And actually, He comes and we use the term, we invite Jesus into our heart. That's a great term. I'm not trying to change that. But what actually happens is that the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus Himself, comes to dwell in your spirit. He comes to rule and reign in your spirit. You are a spirit. That's the eternal part of you. You're a spirit. And Jesus comes. When you yield to Jesus, you invite Jesus, He comes to dwell in your spirit. And it's beautiful because He's your righteousness. Amen. It's not by your righteousness. He comes and gives you His righteousness. And so this is beautiful because when the Lord sees you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus. He doesn't see your report card. Amen. Is that great news? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, you see this, and it will encourage you to run to Him and to be with Him and get to know Him better and better. Because I want to tell you, He's your gift of righteousness. And by His righteousness, by His gift, you get everything that He is and everything that He has. I know a lot of places will try to teach that you got to earn it, you got to deserve it, you got to work your way up to it. No, 1,000 times no. It's by Jesus and Jesus alone. We are in covenant with God, but let's be honest, you didn't bring anything to the table. Jesus represented us, and He's our covenant man. He's the new Adam. And it's by Him and through, in and through Christ, that we have His righteousness. Now, according to Scripture, Jesus, full-grown Jesus, is in your spirit. And according to Scripture, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Is that great news? Yeah. Yeah. I want you to think sealed. Yeah. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He keeps us. Right. It's not your job to keep your salvation. Amen. He keeps you. Yeah. And He protects you. Yes, now, you know as well as I do, and I'm preaching in the right place, but I want to tell you something. This journey can be rough and tough. This journey, I'm telling you, we can make choices. Am I right? Yeah. We can make choices that go 1,000 times wrong. Sometimes it's not even your choice. Sometimes it's other people's choices that affect you. Am I right? Yeah. But I want to tell you something. In this journey, man, I want to tell you this stuff right here. That's the effect of sin. Yeah. I want to tell you, it can show up in your life sometimes by deception, sometimes by distraction. Sometimes we recognize it by depression, despondent. Or am I in the right place? And this comes against our life like this. Now, I want to tell you something. Take a smell there. No, it's okay. But sometimes it don't smell good. Am I right? Oh, come on now. It don't smell good. It don't look good. It don't feel good. But I want to tell you something. That's not the real you. The real you in your spirit, the eternal part of you, is Jesus. And it's His righteousness. Now, don't be dismayed. I'm announcing something to you. The righteousness of Jesus is greater than any amount of dirt of sin that come against your life. No matter how much stink it is, His righteousness is greater. Grace is much more powerful than any sin that can come against you or come in you. Now, I want to tell you something. You are a spirit. Now, you have a soul. Now, this stuff affects your soul. But because Jesus is in your spirit, I want to tell you the righteousness of God, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's eternally true. That is forever true, not based on you, but based on Him. And I want to tell you, because of this, this is temporary. The junk coming into your life or come against your life is temporary. Now, the enemy may tell you that you're forever here. The enemy wants to label you by this. But I want to tell you, when God sees you, He sees the righteousness of Christ, because that's the real you. Now, I want to tell you, as of Friday morning, this amount of gold was worth $108,000. Now, I'm asking you a question that you need to consider. Is this $108,000 value lost value because of this? Thank you. I'm preaching in the right place. This helps me preach faster. Because you know what? This is temporary. And plus, the Holy Spirit seals us. We're sealed by Him. Now, can you open that up? See, I didn't have enough hands here. How good are you? Okay, look at him. Man, what a sword bearer. What a helper. Well, I want to tell you, what do we do with this? Well, I want to tell you, the righteousness that's in you is greater. As a matter of fact, Jesus is your grace. You know how you spell grace? It's J-E-S-U-S. Sometimes we want to define it in different terms, but I want to tell you, it's Him. He is grace. And I want to tell you, hey, this is beautiful. His grace is greater than anything that's ever come against your life. And so you need to see yourself as the Lord sees you. Now, I want to tell you what's a beautiful picture, because this is in Psalm 119, is that the water of the Word has a cleansing effect on us. That's how powerful the Word is. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus is the Word. And the Holy Spirit takes that Word and He personally applies it to your life. And I want to tell you something. Grace will enable you and teach you how to live. Yes, it will. Because Jesus is more powerful in you, because it's Him, resurrection power forever. Amen. Hey, here's the announcement. You didn't bring anything to the table to gain the righteousness of Christ. You didn't bring anything to the table to earn grace. It's undeserved, unearned. Amen. Let me announce some good news to you. Your goodness can't get this. It's Jesus. Your messiness can't lose this. It's Jesus. And so that's the picture of grace and the beauty of the Lord in our life. Man, let's give a thanks to Pastor James, because, man, he really followed the lead here. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to hand this to you. I'm going to keep the righteousness of Christ, and because it's in your spirit, and you can't lose it. Nothing you can do to make it go away. Nothing you did to gain it. Nothing you can do to lose it. Can somebody give a thanks to the Lord? Because that's a picture of grace. That's a picture of Jesus in our life. And I want to tell you, because that is forever true, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is our gift from God. All right? Now, that's the real you. Now, if you're still suffering from the effects of sin, that's temporary. And when you see this and you believe this, you can receive the freedom that Jesus came to give you. May not happen instantly, but as we continue, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And the more you hear it, the more you can see it. And if you can see it, you can receive it. That's why this is a great, exciting adventure story. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. This is what Jesus the righteousness of the Lord, the grace of the Lord has provided for us. This is what Jesus won for us. Are you ready? Hey, somebody say, this is my birthright. This is my birthright. Yeah, when you receive Jesus, this is your birthright from Jesus, because we're a joint heir with him. May grace, great grace, God's unmerited favor, and spiritual peace, which means peace with God and harmony, unity, and undisturbedness, be yours from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is your birthright. This is a part of what Jesus gave you that's in you, the real you, when you receive Christ. Great grace. Grace is more powerful than anything else you'll face. His grace will enable you to be what he wants you to be and do what he wants you to do. That's amazing, enabling grace of God. He does it. It's from the inside out. Now, listen, here's part of the benefit of your birthright. You have more than enough grace for anything you're going to face in this life. You say, well, Brother Tim, that's not my experience. Well, this is the Word of God. And so let the Word of God be true and your experience be wrong for right now. Because when we believe this, we can receive this. It's not by our works. This is new covenant. It's not by our works. It's by believing that we receive. Is that exciting? Because that's something that all of us can do, because Jesus is in us and he's given us the Holy Spirit to seal us. And not only does he protect us, but he coaches us. You have a personal coach to receive and walk in the abundant life of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. All of us have that. Not just the super spiritual. There's no such thing. I'm telling you, it's Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, one just like him that dwells in us, and he will coach you into abundant, victorious life that he paid for. Somebody give a shout to the Lord. And so we get grace and spiritual peace. Now, that's your birthright. So, one of the ways it's described is harmony, unity, and undisturbedness. That's kingdom of God. Because I want to tell you, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. And so, if he said it like that, then there's a choice that we have. Now, I know we get there. And so if you're here this morning and your heart's disturbed and troubled, no one's throwing a Bible at you. We're just saying you don't have to live that way. Because of Jesus in you, the righteousness of God in you has paid the price for you to receive more than enough favor and grace, more than enough grace to overcome anything that we face. Wow. That's good news. And not only that, peace. I got a call from a very wealthy man this week, businessman, having trouble in his business. My first question was, why are you calling me? Because, but he said, I need some wisdom. And so he shared. And you know what it boiled down to? I had to tell him, you have an employee in your company that you've allowed the enemy through this employee to steal your peace. Yeah. Amen. Your peace is your birthright. This is the way we're to live. We're not to walk in the troubles and trials of this world in a complete disturbance or despondence. Amen. Or a complete depression. I know we get there. That's not our walk. When we experience that, we run to the shepherd, because I want to tell you, the shepherd can TLC, tender loving care, and he can remove that. But we're not to walk that way as a normal Christian life. That's subnormal Christian living. And so your birthright is peace. And so I want to tell you, if you're not there, great news today, because of the grace of Jesus, you can receive overwhelming peace. Because that's the normal Christian living, is to walk in grace, more than enough grace, and more than enough peace. That's the gift from God. Now, let's see what else he has to. Is that good news for you? Okay, because I know I've been, this man that I was sharing with this weekend, he was disturbed. But I want to tell you, even before he got off the phone, he was thanking God for peace and wisdom. Only Jesus can give you that. But I want to tell you, it's your birthright, because that peace and that grace is in you. You don't have to beg God for it. It's in you. And so I want to tell you, he has provided through Jesus right here in your spirit. We need to learn how to receive out of our spirit that great grace, overwhelming peace out of our spirit into our soul. And then it can even affect our body. Somebody say amen to that. Man, this is exciting stuff. And so it's yours. It's yours. It's yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Well, put your name on that, because if you have Jesus, you got full-grown Jesus inside of you, more than enough grace, more than enough spiritual peace to bring you harmony and unity and an undisturbedness on the inside of you that will translate to the outside of you and make people say, wow, it's Jesus. Hey, verse 3, our response, blessing. We praise, we give glory, we honor, we celebrate the Lord. Blessing be to the God of our Father and the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every, does it say just every or a little? Maybe just some people get every. Maybe we're designed to get a little. No, this is the word of God. This is from Jesus. This is your birthright. This is from you. Now, the proper response continually, protocol, is to be blessing the Lord, giving thanks and celebration and praise to the Lord, because we recognize, we receive, we respond by faith, not by feeling, that we have more than enough grace and more than enough peace in us. And so he's worthy of praise and celebration for the rest of our life. If he never did anything else, he is worthy of praise and celebration. But because of the grace and peace in us, see, this was the problem. I told him, I said, you know, you're having a hard time hearing the Lord because your heart's disturbed. He said, that's right. I said, I want to announce something to you. When your emotions are bouncing back and forth, we know what that's like. When your emotions are down here, when your emotions are causing a storm inside of you, it's hard to be still and hear the voice of God. And so what we got to do is go back to the Father and see the loving Father. Go back to Jesus and see the great, great shepherd, and spend time with Jesus and focus on him, not on the dirt, not on the emotion, but on the truth of who he is, and begin to practice by faith. I want to tell you, you don't wait till you feel like it. You pray, this is truth. I'm going to praise him and celebrate him. And I want to tell you, it's just like what I saw this week with the little woman in the Song of Solomon that was looking for her lover. It's a beautiful picture of us seeking after the Lord. And she felt that there was a distance from the Lord. You ever feel distant? Well, I want to tell you, we know it's really a lie, because he's always present. He's promised he'll never leave us. We're getting to that in a hurry. But I want to tell you something. What she began to do, because she told even the other ladies, have anyone seen my lover? Has anyone seen him? And she began to talk about how majestic he was and how beautiful he was and how dynamic that he was and how much she loved him. And the next thing you knew, when she began to testify of who he was to her, she recognized, oh, he's in the garden. She knew where he was, and there was intimacy. And so I want to tell you, if you're distant, don't live there. Jesus was distant from the Father on the cross so that we would never have to be separated in fellowship. And I want to tell you, if you recognize you're not there, it's your birthright. Jesus paid for you to be intimate and close to him. And so we come running to him, not by feeling, not by faith. We don't have to wait till Sunday. I'm telling you, by faith, you run to him. He's there. He wants to receive you. So we bless the Lord. Now, how do you bless the Lord? Blessing the Lord. How do we? He's the creator. He's everything. How do we bless the Lord? Well, I want to tell you, beautiful scripture in Acts. I don't have time to turn there. But it talks about that the saints were gathered together, and they were ministering to the Lord. How did they minister to the Lord? Praise him. Bless him. Give glory to him. Love them back. They were ministering to the Lord. I'm announcing something to you, that when you praise and give thanks to the Lord by faith, you're ministering to the Lord. And when you begin to focus on Him and celebrate Him, guess what? You'll find yourself intimate with Him. Because He cannot, you can't love on Him without Him loving you back. Because He's a great, great Father. And He's a great, great Shepherd. And so that's part of our birthright to experience. Look, He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Does the Bible mean what it says, or is Jesus just teasing us? Wait, you mean in heaven? No, this is for earth. Now, if you don't believe it, you're not going to go there. If you don't believe that He paid for it, you're not going to receive it. And so what I'm trying to show you today, this is what Jesus paid for. And the Bible says He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing given, manifested by the Holy Spirit. And I've had people say, well, now, Brother Tim, that's just for spiritual stuff. No, I'm telling you, spiritual is the transport. It's from heaven to earth to you. The warehouse is in heaven. But I want to tell you, He's invested with you. And so He's right here in you. And so it's not a matter of begging God for it. It's a matter of how to learn by faith, by grace through faith, to receive what's already in you. It's already yourn. The way they'd say it in East Texas. It's yourn. And so we're to learn how to receive it by faith. And I want to tell you, we can walk with Him. We can walk in blessing. You say, well, I don't have this blessing. Well, it's for us to discover, and it's for us to learn how to walk by faith and how to practice receiving. But I'm telling you, because of what He says right here, we can't lose for winning. We can't lose for winning. You weren't born again to be a loser. He made you a winner. We're not to live this life like the crucifixion was a loss. The crucifixion is our victory. And so I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, your personal life coach, will teach you and coach you, and grace will enable you to live like you can't live, because it's the life of Jesus. And I'm telling you, that life of Jesus, life attracts life. And when you are practicing this in your life, then I want to tell you, you're having more influence than you ever knew. Because people sense it, people see it. Hey, your goodness can't win it. Your mess can't lose it. It's a forever gift. Somebody say it's a forever gift. Jesus is your forever Savior. His favor and His love and His grace is much more. I want you to say it like this. I'm blessed and loved forever. I'm forever favored. That's His grace. He'll never withdraw His grace. You're forever favored. Hey, say this. I'm forever blessed. Hey, that's the unconditional love of God. That's the grace of Jesus, more than enough. And we don't have to live like Jesus didn't provide it. And same thing about His presence, because I want to tell you something. He will never forfeit His presence from you. That's actually what the Bible says, and this is in Hebrews. Hebrews 13. I don't have that scripture in your notes, so you might want to just write that down. But I'm just going to read this for emphasis sake. You probably already know it, but would you just listen to this? He says this, I will never under any circumstances desert you. Is that great news? Do you believe that? Well, you can receive it. Never give you up nor leave you without support. Is that great news? You're not on your own. I know that there's some places that preach, well, you receive Jesus by grace through faith, but then you're on your own till you get to heaven. No, no, no. He's promised that His presence will forever be with you. That's the beauty of the Lord. I will never desert you, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. The language doesn't get any stronger than that. And so if you're feeling distant, it's a lie. Let's come back. Because of grace, you can freely come and freely receive that intimacy from the Lord, because that's where He wants you to be. That's where we receive. That's where He paid for you to be. Listen at this, verse 6. As a result of His forever presence, hey, we can take comfort. we can take comfort. Why? Because our Comforter is here, very, very present. He's very present. We can take comfort. Now, I want to tell you, that word take is kind of a strong word, too. It means that you don't beg for it. You don't earn it. You deserve it. You go and take it from Him. Okay? My little granddaughters, I've had a blast this week. A lot of memories. I'm still in recovery right now, so be with me. But I want to tell you something. They know that any time they can come up to me and take a drink of Papa T's sweet water. That's my water bottle. They got their own, but they're convinced, and I've had something to do with it, that Papa T's sweet water is better than any water on earth. And so they'll come by and get a drink. Now, they don't try to do that with Lovey, okay? Lovey says, you go get Papa T's water. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't hurt my feelings for them to come take from me. You know what it does? It makes me smile. I want to tell you something about your Lord, about your Father, about your great Shepherd. I want to tell you something about the Coach Holy Spirit. They love it. They celebrate when you come take of them. Because it's paid for. It's yours. The comfort, all the comfort you could ever need. If you need comfort today, there's no condemnation to you. It's an invitation. You don't have to live there. You come and take of Him the comfort that He's provided. Let's be honest. Because of Jesus, because of grace, it's got your name on it. It's, your name's on it. It's been paid for, so come and take it. Listen to this. We can be encouraged. Anybody ever need encouragement? More than enough Jesus in us for us to receive. We can confidently say, even if we're not feeling it, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper in time of need. I will not be afraid. By the way, what can man do to me? And so the focus is not on man. The focus is not on the dirt. The focus is on Jesus. But I want to tell you, when your focus is on Jesus, He will minister, the Holy Spirit, your coach, will minister that life to you. Never, ever leave you. Grace is our yes from God. Grace is our peace from God. That's what Jesus has paid for. Don't live without overwhelming grace that will empower you to be what God wants you to be and to do what God wants you to do. Hey, His amazing grace, undeserved, unearned, don't live without it. Don't live like you don't have it. Because it's more than enough. Don't live without the peace of God. Because it's been provided by salvation. Somebody say birthright. Birthright. It's your birthright. The war's over. We have covenant with God because of Jesus. And so harmony on the inside of you is your birthright. Now I want to tell you, when we live in distress, when we live in stress, distress, there's distress that comes to our body eventually. Not speaking any condemnation. I'm just saying distress will birth distress. Peace will birth peace. Someone called me the other day and caught me at a good time because I had been a little disturbed about something that come up. And so I was having to give it to the Lord, you know, just like you do. And so I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm yielding it to the Lord. And you know what? I received peace from God. You know, that's Jesus. That's not me working it up. That's not me emotionally working it up. That's by faith receiving the peace of Jesus. And then I got this phone call and somebody was disturbed and they said, well, how are you doing? I said, I'm too blessed to stress. It just came out. I know it sounded a little cocky. But I was there. They didn't like it at first. Kind of felt like I was being insensitive. But they got there before the conversation was over. And they were able to say, I'm too blessed to stress. That's because of Jesus. These are benefits that Jesus brings when He comes into our spirit. Jesus is more than enough. Somebody say that. He's more than enough. And so that's what our response is supposed to be. Believe it. We got to embrace it. We can't just let it be a mental acknowledgement, you know, because it can go in one ear and out the other. It doesn't stay. We got to embrace it in our soul. It's got to be birthed in our heart. to where that we say yes to truth until we see it on the inside. But this is what I mean, see it on the inside, till you hear it and embrace it, sow it into your heart until you see it on the inside. When you see it, you can receive it. This is spiritual stuff I'm talking about, because it's all in the invisible. I know we live in this world, but because of Jesus, he's given us eyes and ears to see into the invisible and see him and his word. And when we see him as he is, I want to tell you, he births that hope in our heart. And when you see it on the inside, you can receive it on the outside. Somebody say amen to that. That's the way we're to live. And so all of heaven is waiting on our amen. Amen means I want that. It actually is an expression of faith. First time ever used, Abraham used it. When the Lord came and blessed him and spoke a blessing of covenant on him, and his response was by faith. And when you look up the word, his response, it was aman. Amen. It means so be it. And so listen, when we're encouraging you to be an amen church, hey, I want to tell you something. This is what happens. A lot of times, as you're reading the word, hearing the word, you're seeing Jesus in the word, there's a bell that goes off on the inside of you that this is truth. And when that little bell goes off, you need to express with your mouth what you're seeing in your heart. You need to say with your mouth what the Holy Spirit is saying in your heart. And so as you're listening to a message, or you're listening to the word, and as you're listening to a message and you hear this, yeah, this is for you. You hear this bell go off in the inside of you. You need to express it like Abraham did. Amen. Hey, Revelation says that his name is Amen. And so you're saying yes to Jesus when you say amen. You're letting heaven know, I want this. Heaven is looking and listening. And when you say amen, I need that, I want that, heaven's listening and saying, hey, angels, go for it. This one wants it. This is why we can't afford to be a quiet church. We can't be a church that just hears it and says, well, that was nice, and go home. No, we got to give allegiance. We got to embrace it. And that's why it's powerful for you to say with your mouth what God's saying in your heart. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yes, heaven loves that. It's not just to encourage the pastor. Does it do that? Well, yeah. I'm telling you, Pastor Tony will be back in the pulpit in 2 weeks, first Sunday of August. And I want to tell you something. When he stands up, there ought to be some loud amens, because I want to tell you what heaven wants to hear. Heaven wants to hear you say amen even before you hear it. You know, it's a position of your heart. We're posturing our heart that, Lord, whatever you say, I say yes to. Lord, whatever you want, I agree with. And so let me rush to some word, okay? That's my introduction. Let me rush to some word, all right? And it goes like this. And these words were spoken by the prophet Balaam, who had been hired by Balak. Balak was a king of Moab. And the Israelites had come into his territory and were camped out. And he didn't want them there. He was scared of them. And so he hired a prophet, Balaam, to come and speak a curse on them, that they would be cursed. And so, however, what happens is when Balaam got up to speak a curse over the children of Israel, blessing came out instead of cursing. Well, that's not what Balak paid for. But listen, you open up your ears, open up your heart, and with an open hand, if you'll grab a hold of how God sees you and me today, it will change the way you live this week. Are you ready? Look at the Bible. This is Numbers 23:20. These scriptures are in your notes. Behold, I've received a command to bless. That's what Balaam said. I've received a command to bless. He has blessed. Talking about God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Is that good news? Yes. Hey, look at some more. Verse 21. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob. Hey, this is a picture. See, when you look at the Old Testament, you got to look through the cross. You got to look through the glasses of grace. And I want to tell you, this is a picture. What he's saying is that God has not seen iniquity in Jacob. Now, had Jacob sinned? Oh, come on now. They were real humans, just like Texans. okay? But I want to tell you, through the gift of righteousness, when the Lord looks at you, He doesn't look at your sin. He sees Jesus. He doesn't see your wrongness. He sees Jesus' rightness. Is that great news? I'm telling you, that's exciting stuff, because that's how God sees you. You want some more? Oh, thank you for saying that. Here we go. Nor has He seen any wickedness in Israel. Now, I'm sure that morning some guy was insensitive to his wife. Probably kicked the dog or the sheep or whatever. But I want to tell you something. See, when the Father was looking at them through covenant eyes, He did not see their iniquity. I want to tell you, because of the covenant of Jesus, when He looks at you, He's not measuring your wickedness. Is this great news? Hey, I want to tell you, He sees Jesus' rightness. Somebody say, praise the Lord for that. The Lord, His God, is with Him. This is what we're talking about, the presence of God. The presence of God in you is your guaranteed victory. Did you really receive Christ? Then the presence of God is really in you. And whatever you've done wrong hasn't chased Him away. Because you heard that verse that I just read. He says that He will not even relax His hold on you. Amen. Somebody say, He got me. And won't let me go. That's your Jesus. That's beauty right there. All right, how about another one? Here it is. And this verse, and the shout of the king is among them. Guess who that's talking about? Come on, look through the eyes of grace. Look back here through the cross. It's talking about King Jesus. The shout of the King Jesus is, listen, He shouts for you. He prays for you. He sings over you. He dances over you. Get the picture. He loves you. I want to tell you, when I first read this verse, I got the picture. Of course, I played ball, and so I got the picture that, man, before we'd leave out of the locker room onto the field, we'd already gone out and done warm-ups, we'd come back in, and sometimes the coach would have me give the speech, the go-get-em speech. And I want to tell you, when players would see somebody passionate, enthusiastic, willing to sacrifice themselves for the win, even when it was a head coach, they would emulate that. I want to tell you what's happening for you right now out of heaven. And you may not have ears to hear it right now, but I want you to hear it by faith. The King is shouting victory for you.
Amen.
He's not only in your corner, He's got you back. He doesn't just have you back, He's on your side. He's not on your side, He's leading the way. The King is shouting His victory for you. Somebody enjoy that. God brings them out of Egypt. This is what this says. No matter what kind of dirt you've been in, what kind of pit you've been in, Jesus is your rescue. That's His heart. That's what He wants to do. Don't you dare believe what the enemy would say, that I'm here the rest of my life. This is the way I'm going to live my life the rest of my life. That's a lie. Because Jesus is your rescue. He has the strength of a wild ox. Now I want to tell you what this means. You have awe and respect for a wild ox. I don't know about wild oxes, but I know just a little bit about the American buffalo. We got to be around them a little bit. Very powerful, very strong. And I want to tell you, I have visited with some ranchers that raised the American bison, the buffalo, and they said, you don't treat them like regular cattle. I want to tell you, they're powerful. They can be aggressive at the drop of a dime. And I want to tell you, you never know what's on their mind. Now, I want to tell you, what does this say about your Lord? Because see Jesus in it. It says that your God is awesome. Your God is to be revered. Amen. And I want to tell you, you never know how He's going to show forth His power, His authority in your behalf. And so even the world would have to back up and say, they're God. Now, look at this. There is no sorcery against Jacob. I know sometimes people want to admire the kingdom of darkness like it's so powerful and we're just victims. That's wrong, 1,000 times wrong. I want to tell you something. I was with a pastor not too long ago. I'm not going to say where because he's probably listening. And you know I love you and we helped. But it goes like this. He had this idea that there was a supreme demon over his area of territory, and they were just limited in what they could do for Jesus. I told him, I said, I know the Bible talks about principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, but let me tell you something, every one of them has been defeated. Every one of them is weak compared to Jesus. None of them have rights against you because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the victory of the cross. They're all defeated. They're losers. And any Christian, I don't care how old you are, can be a little grandma. I don't care how young you are, can be a little teenager or children's church. You know Jesus, you have authority over the powers and works of darkness. The Bible says he's taken away the very power and works of darkness to come against us. There is no sorcery against you. There is no divination against Israel. I know that people speak curses on us, but I want to tell you something. Curses are weak. And I know that there are ministries that are based that if you'll just come to our place and give an offering, we'll break the generational curse off you. But you need to come to our place and you need to give us the offering. Now, I want to tell you something. That irritates the far out of me. Because I want to tell you something. From the cross, Jesus took every curse away from us. Are there generational curses? You better believe it. But I want to tell you something. They're to have no authority, no right against us because of the victory of the cross. You don't have to live the rest of your life like your generational family has. You can be a transition generation. How and why? Because of the righteousness of Christ in you. You have the authority. You have the right to receive more than enough grace to overcome and to be a transition generation. Is that great news? All right, just a few more. You give me just a couple minutes here. Look at this. No curse is to have effect on you. Now, I want to tell you, if you want to be a weak-minded, weak-hearted, self-centered believer, you can believe a curse and it'll have effect on you. But that's not what Jesus paid for, because he broke the curse. And I want to tell you something. It's your birthright to believe what Jesus did and receive freedom. We're calling you to freedom. We're calling you to freedom life, okay? Because that's what Jesus is. That's what he's done. Look at this right quick. It must be said of Jacob, now listen, and of Israel. This is what the world is saying. This is referring to the world. This is what the world is going to say about you when you realize your position in Christ, that you're irreversibly blessed. This is what the world's going to say when we start believing it and receiving it. The world's going to say this. They're going to say, it must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. In other words, they're saying, I don't believe like them folk. That's not my God. But we got to admit, their God is amazing. Their God has given them victory. Their God has showed himself mighty in their behalf. How mighty is their God? Now, I want to tell you, when the world says that, they're going to follow you to church. They're going to say, where do you go? I'm just going to follow you. I want to be where your God is, because I've seen how obvious he's been in your life. A people rises up like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. Now, I don't know if you watch the wildlife shows. I like them. But listen, I know sometimes we refer in this reverence of the lion being the enemy, but I want to tell you something. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. In Revelation, when the voice came out, behold, the Lion of Judah. John looks around and he sees a lamb that was slain. And so I want to tell you, it's Jesus. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He was a lamb that was slain in order for us to be a Lion of Judah, to be like him. He's the victor. He's the overcomer. And I want to tell you, if you ever see on those wildlife shows, the little lions get up. They get up and the big male lion will get up and they look so majestic. Yeah. Well, I want to tell you something. Your Lion of Judah, he is the majesty. Yeah. And when we roar like him, we say what he's saying and we allow him to be himself in us. And guess what? I want to tell you something. There's a majesty about you that reflects Jesus. Yeah. That's what grace will do. There'll be people out of your past saying, hey, man, what's happened? That's not the real you. I remember how you were like. And right now, there's a beauty about you. There's a majesty about you. There's a sense of royalty about you. What is that? Jesus. Won't quit. Shall not lie down till it devours its prey. Hey, because of grace and peace, there's no reason for us to ever quit. If we don't quit, we win because of Jesus. Let me announce it like this. The battle's not over till you win, because Jesus is your victory. And so wherever you are, ever how many times you've circled the mountain or walked through the desert, I want to tell you something. Don't quit. See grace. Receive peace. Let God be God. And watch the victory come, because he's your victory. The battle is the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay, let me wrap this like this. When you know that God has blessed you, no one, no prophet, no sorcerer, no devil, no human can reverse it. You are irreversibly blessed. You can never be cursed. Our part is simply to believe and receive. It even includes redeeming us from the curse of the law, because the Bible says Jesus became a curse for us. He took your curses on the cross. So when your enemies say negative things about you, sometimes it's out of envy, sometimes it's out of jealousy, sometimes it's out of fear. It don't matter what their purpose is. I hate to say this, but you know the Lord uses people.
Yes, he does.
The enemy uses people. Okay, so we got to look past people and understand that this is spiritual warfare. And so how do you battle that? By looking on Jesus. By focusing on Jesus and not on people. Don't you dare focus on yourself. You're going to end up depressed. And so when people are saying, spreading these nasty lies about you, they're assassinating your character. Know this, listen to this, the Lord is your defender. He can cause those words to fall to the ground. He's already paid for it. He even turns their curses into blessings. Do you see that? That's why that the New Testament says when people curse you, that you don't have to be disturbed. Because you're blessed when they curse you. Because he will turn their curses into blessing. And you can be in a position of such blessing that you can bless those that curse you. Why? Because that's your God. That's what he's saying and what he's doing. Let's all stand together. Team's going to come. They're going to sing. But I want to tell you something. It's very, very important. Listen to this. You don't have to get all worked up because of what the enemy's doing. You don't have to get all worked up because of what people are doing or the enemy's doing through people. You don't have to get flustered. You don't have to get agitated. You don't have to get angry. If you get there, welcome to the human race. You don't have to stay there because you're not a regular human. You got Jesus in you. Believe right. Let this sink deep in your heart. Water it. Embrace it. Because in Christ Jesus, you are irreversibly blessed. No matter what those circumstances look like right now. And I know some of your circumstances are really tough. But I want to tell you, by grace through faith, you can put a smile on your face. You can have thanksgiving come out of your heart. You can praise him. You can bless the Lord. You can stand on his word with both feet. Because whom the Lord has blessed, no one can curse. Because the Bible says nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from his love. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that even though we go through difficult stuff, that you as our great shepherd will see us through it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can take right now and understand that whatever the pit is, whatever the mess is, whatever the dirt is, that it's temporary. Thank you that you can turn this around for your good, for our good and your glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't win the victory at Calvary for us to live in disappointment, for us to live in discouragement, for for us to live in despair or deception or distraction. But Lord Jesus, even as we saw through the Bible, through Balaam, that if God's on our side, who can be against us? We just receive right now the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we just pray right now, great grace to come on this meeting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see every heart that is saying, amen. I want that. I need that. So be it in me, Lord. And we just release the power of your grace that's greater than any sin. Thank you that your grace superabounds in our life. And I just pray great grace and great peace. Lord, we know there's storms. We command those storms to shut up in the name of Jesus. And we release the power of your peace to comfort and to encourage and to overcome. And we give you praise, Lord, for who you are in our midst. In Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.